This afternoon, brothers and sisters, we open the Word of God in the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 4, the verses 1 through 29 is our scripture passage, page 1547 in our Pew Bible. Mark chapter 4, this is the word of God. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land, facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Also he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything be kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." That's our scripture passage. The text for the sermon of this afternoon we find in the second petition, Your Kingdom Come. And in Lord's Day 48, page 61 in the back of our Blue Psalter hymnal, page 61. In Lord's Day 48, we echo the word of God as follows. What does the second request mean? Thy kingdom come means rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Keep your church strong and add to it. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your word. Do this until your kingdom is so complete and perfect that in it you are all in all. That's Lord's Day 48. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, after moving to Binbrook in my retirement, brothers and sisters, I've been driving through the countryside a lot. Hence, I don't just see God's wonderful creation much more. My thoughts also often go out to my ministry, the work of preaching, the work of missions, the work among the congregations, etc. Then it's remarkable how the impressions of the one blend with the contemplations of the other. These past months, I could not help but think of the work in the congregation I serve, in the way of the images about sowing, growing, and harvesting. The endless fields of corn or potatoes or grain or soybeans, the repeated impressions of the farmer's life reminded me that God's word uses such images repeatedly. Hence we speak of sowing the seed of the word, planting churches, plowing on rocks. Before me, the prophet Isaiah prophesies of God's work with his people in an explanation of the farmer's wisdom about plowing, sowing, and threshing. In that beautiful section in Isaiah 28. Paul, as we heard at the beginning of the service, addresses the Corinthians in terms of his own planting, Apollos' watering, and the Lord's giving of the increase, 1 Corinthians 3. Yes, we ourselves wonder at times about the fruits of our work, or the fruits of our faith as well, as we saw this morning so clearly. The Lord Jesus, beloved, also used the comparison with the life and work of the farmer frequently. He did that particularly in the parables. The parable of the sower, I'm sure, is among the most well known. In connection with it, he also told the one of the growing seed, the parable of the weeds or of the mustard seed. He used these impressions and images of the farmer's life to explain the work of God, the work with the word of God. He used them especially to reveal the secrets of the kingdom of God. The progress of the word, the fruits of the preaching, and the coming of the kingdom of God are all expressed in parables about the seed, the soil, and the sowing, growing, and harvesting. Yes, when he spoke to Peter personally, he said, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. The Lord Jesus urged his disciples also to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Prayer for the kingdom of God, for its coming, its progress, and its completion, indeed is a prayer that can be understood very well when we use the parables of our Lord about sowing, growing, and harvesting. Hence, I may proclaim to you in the second petition, we pray, Father, take care that you receive a great harvest for yourself. And we see the sowing, our first point, the growing, our second point, and the harvesting, our third point. So I summarize the message of this afternoon as follows. In the second petition, we pray, Father, take care that you receive a great harvest for yourself. We see the sowing, the growing, and the harvesting. So first of all, the sowing. So the image the Lord Jesus uses, brothers and sisters, is well known and not difficult to understand. In verse 14, he says, the farmer sows the word. The seed is the word. The gospel, which the Lord Jesus uses, proclaims about himself, is going to go out into the world. For the field is the world. It's going out with the intention that the word that is sown will grow and bear fruit so that it can be harvested. God's word will have to do something in the people. These people have to grow in order that they may show themselves more and more as people who serve the Lord. That's what we pray for in the second petition. Your kingdom come. Now this petition, beloved, does not stand out very clearly always in the hearts and minds of the people. On the one hand, we know that the kingdom of God is there. Yet the Lord teaches us to pray for its coming. So what are we praying for when we say, your kingdom come? For the things that the Heidelberg Catechism mentions, like the preservation and increase of the church, the defense of the gospel, or for the return of Christ? Do we pray for strength to stand firm in faith, or for the completion of the kingdom? Is the kingdom here, or is it still to come? Now, to help us answer these questions, the image of the sowing can help us. When we are driving through the countryside, we say, look, that's a lot of potatoes. What we see, however, are the plants only, while we don't see the potatoes, which are still in the ground. You could hold up a hand filled with seed and say, look, spinach. What we mean is, here, that spinach seed. The potatoes, the spinach, in a way, are there, yet in a different sense, they are not there yet. It still has to grow. That's how it is with the kingdom of God. It's there, yet it still has to grow and ripen, while the day of the harvest is the day of Christ's return. Today we sow the word, and we see the plants grow, and the fruits appear, and know that the kingdom of God is here. Yet we also pray for the proclamation of the gospel, the progress of the gospel, and the coming of the kingdom here in our midst, or in the mission field in South America or in Africa, for instance. The kingdom, brothers and sisters, isn't there yet. Not completely, that is. Not in its fullness yet. Still, the Lord is King of all the earth. He governs all things and everyone. Not everyone on earth recognizes him as King. Many people reject his kingship, resist his will. Still, that does not mean that the Lord isn't king yet, or that his work does not succeed, that rebellion and resistance has been there ever since the fall into sin. The Lord, however, allowed it to persist. Although he could destroy his enemies at any time, and we know that eventually he will show his vengeance on his adversaries, he doesn't do so yet. For the time of the harvest has not yet come. In many places there is still the time of sowing or the time of growing. The Lord is still waiting, for he doesn't just want all people will become acquainted with the truth about him, will be able to get to know his kingship. He wants especially that those who know him will serve him voluntarily, willingly. Of course, he could force people to submit to him the way he did with Pharaoh. He could persuade people to acknowledge him as Lord the way he did with Nebuchadnezzar or Darius. Yet he rather sees people serve him freely, praise him voluntarily, and confess their faith in him willingly. That's what he accomplishes with the sowing of the word, by the preaching. So we do know indeed, beloved, that there will be a day when the kingdom of God will be made manifest. Then all people will bow before him. All kings and rulers will submit to his kingship, whether they want to or not. We are on our way to the time that there won't be any resistance against the Lord any longer. On the new earth, he will establish a kingdom in which all citizens will obey him, serve him, praise and glorify him with joy and pleasure. Yet, until that time, he tolerates the present-day rebellion and resistance. Until that day, we pray, "Your kingdom come." And those who pray this are among those citizens who already desire to serve him, to obey him, and to submit to him with their whole heart, soul, and mind. However, with a view to the persistent rebellion and resistance, this petition means, in the terms of the parable of the seed, "Father, bless the sowing of the seed of the word. Bless the proclamation of the gospel in the lives of the people who hear it preached in spirit and truth." You know, it's not the seed or the quality of the seed which determines whether it will come up and grow and bear fruit. No, it's the soil. It's the place where the seed falls, on the rocks or on the road or among the thistles or in the good soil. That's what the Lord Jesus shows, beloved. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is among you. But what are you doing with the seed, with the word? By faith, you enter the kingdom of God. By faith, you belong to the King Jesus Christ. However, if your faith is short-lived, if it shoots up but is scorched by the heat of trouble or choked by the worries of the world, then there won't be fruit. There won't be a place in the kingdom of God. But that happens, that people take to the word, but Satan comes to pick away the results from their heart and mind, and they go again. It happens also among us, that someone heard the word, bore fruit for a while, but the troubles of man, the worries of life, or the deceitfulness of wealth takes hold of them, and the beginning fruits are choked. That's why we pray, Your kingdom come. That is, Father, help us to have the right attitude toward you and toward the preaching. Give that I may discern the approach of Satan who seeks to pick the seeds away. Examine my heart and mind to see if I receive the word seriously. Test my life to see whether your word is central, deeply embedded, taking root in me. Father, give that it may grow and bear fruit, so that I am going to serve you more and more willingly, voluntarily, and joyfully. That first. Then secondly, growing. Now, between sowing and harvesting, brothers and sisters, the growing of a plant is an important phase. It should not be too difficult to understand that when you sow something, it's with the intention that it grows to be a plant, to bear the fruit that you want to harvest and which you can eat. A farmer does not grow a crop because it looks so nice on the field or because he likes to work so much. Though that may well be so, he sows it in order to see it grow to a crop that is 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown, as the Lord Jesus puts it. That's a wonderful and amazing process. Every year again, we give thanks to God and praise Him for that. What a fruit! What a tremendous outcome there is after a season of sowing and growing. Now, the Lord Jesus, beloved, uses that process for the progress of church and kingdom as well. Then he means, first of all, the growing in faith, the growing in the Lord. Then we should not think in the first place of the members that are added to the congregation or of the new converts that can be seen in Tepic with the mission of light or in Niagara Falls in the mission, the water of life. That too, of course, yet as the Apostle Paul implies, it's first and foremost a growing stronger in faith in Christ. A growing in maturity in the service of the Lord. It means an increase in faith and love, in commitment and devotion to the Lord, and a newness of life in which we have an attitude that's submitted to the will of God in our life more and more. Then the increase of the church comes into the picture too, namely, when we profess His name, win our neighbor for Christ by our words and deeds. That's why we pray, Father, will you help me trust and think and live more and more as a Christian? Help me to make your word my own, to apply the preaching to my life. Give me the strength to live according to your will, to walk circumspectly in your world, and to fight against my sinful inclinations, my sinful character, and my sinful thoughts, words, and deeds. Help me so that my children, or my neighbors, or my colleagues may not be turned off, turned away from you because of me, but rather come to me and ask me to give the reason for the hope and faith and love that I have. Remember this morning's sermon, it fits beautifully together. That's the second petition, beloved, which is a petition that has the harvest for the Father in focus. It desires to see the believers grow, the church increase, and God's kingdom come to the fullness of a great harvest. In our prayers, we may give that a more concrete content by mentioning the Father's help. in our study societies that we attend, or by praying for his special blessing on the missionaries, or for growing in faith of new members in our own congregation, or whatever else we know that requires our special attention. Yes, then we must be specific also when it comes to those who resist the call to obedience, those who no longer attend the worship services, or those who ignore the call for submission to God's word, and pray for people like that, especially about those of whom we know that they were excommunicated from the church of God and therefore have no part in the kingdom of God. Indeed, beloved, then in our prayer for growth, for the coming of God's kingdom, we lay all the needs of the work and workers in church and kingdom before the throne of the Father. The work of preaching and teaching, the work of the office bearers, of the various committees in the church, the societies, the organizations. Yes, then we may give thanks also, for ever since the day of Pentecost, we have seen this work grow and increase. Ever since the gospel broke its way into the world, there are more and more people who acknowledge Christ as their Lord and King. Also, every time a child is born in the church, we pray, as we will for Matthias Bauke, may he live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, and valiantly fight against and overcome sin, the devil and his whole dominion. We give thanks for the blessing of the communion of saints, for the privilege of the weekly worship services, and for the gifts and talents that are employed for the upbuilding of our congregation. No, we don't do that in a way of patting ourselves on the backs, but rather in a critical way, examining ourselves to see where and when, how and why we have to continue to grow and repent and improve and change. For the church of the Lord Jesus Christ must continue to grow and reform and increase in fruits. Hence we pray, Father, give us wisdom for all the work in your church and kingdom. Give us insight, tact, and understanding. Give us your power and strength to grow in every way. And so we come to our third point in harvesting. In my theme, brothers and sisters, I expressed already that ultimately, this is the purpose of and pursuit of the second petition, a great harvest for the Father. We have seen the sowing and growing so far, but those are considered with a view to our desire that in the end the Father may receive that innumerable multitude of people who serve him willingly and joyfully. The seed of the word is sown, and the word is preached in our congregation in order that at Christ's return there will be this great harvest. Then we should realize, first of all, that it's only by the power of God that the seed can germinate in the hearts of men, can grow and increase in their lives and result in fruits of faith. It's only by the power of God that the church can be preserved and increased, so that the kingship of Jesus Christ is professed and obeyed more and more in this world. We cannot force that. We cannot ensure it. The fruits of faith, the increase of the church, and the coming of God's kingdom do not depend on our efforts. That may sound too simple, beloved, yet for those who are involved in that work, it's an important observation. It gives peace of mind and humbleness of heart. Of course, the hearers have to work with the gospel, and the servants have to build the church faithfully. Nevertheless, it's the Lord who gives the increase. The Lord Jesus teaches us that too when he tells us about the farmer who has sown the seed and then needs to wait. He can't do any more. He should not start poking in the soil to see whether it's growing or not. He can't force the growth. Likewise, those who work in the kingdom of God must realize their dependence upon the Lord. He uses us, but he does not depend on us. We depend on him, on his blessing, his power, and his faithful love and care for his church. He works, and he knows the times and seasons for his plan. He knows when the fullness of time has come and when the harvest will be brought in. We know that this may be soon, yet we have to continue to pray and work. Pray, your kingdom come. What a beautiful petition this is, beloved. By his parables and prayer, the Lord Jesus brought the work of God's church and kingdom so close to us and made it so concrete to us. We know ourselves heirs in this kingdom, and we long for the fulfillment of his promises, and we work diligently in the place and calling he gives us. Yet, our task first and foremost is pray. Pray for the fullness of his harvest. Pray for the growth of the crop and the increase of its fruits. Pray for patience and perseverance, for humbleness and faithfulness. Pray and work in the certainty of faith that his kingdom will come. When? We don't know. It will come unexpectedly. And when he comes, he should find us working. We long for it and know that it's coming. And yet, when it does come and we see the outcome, the harvest, we'll be surprised and amazed and incited to praise God for a marvelous work done through the ages as he preserved and increased his church and moved his kingdom into this world. Yes, it will come to that day when everything and everyone will live and serve for God's good pleasure. Amen.